along here in Matthew chapter 4. I entitled this message tonight, Using the Word of God to Overcome Temptation. Using the Word of God to Overcome Temptation. Now, let's go ahead in Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Before I get into the reading of the Word, though, I want to give you a prayer request tonight. I'd like for you to continue to pray for a young man by the name of Brian. Brian, that was even here this morning in our service. He's been coming for quite a while, and it's just like the scales are being taken off of his eyes a little by little. And he's been asking some questions. Had a great talk with him this morning, but most of you may know that Brian has been raised, his mom and dad's Muslims. And so he's been raised in that faith, but they've never made him to make a choice, but choose one thing or another. But he's indoctrinated with that belief, and he's searching for answers, and he's searching for the truth. And I just need to know, I need to have wisdom to be able to, and from the Lord, just to be able to help him, because he's really looking, and hopefully I'll be meeting maybe with him this week over in Blacksburg and talk a little bit more about some things. So I know you guys will pray. And I believe the Holy Spirit can, I know the Holy Spirit can rip away the darkness and the light can just come shining through. And I asked him, the last thing I told him this morning, I said, you know what? You ask God to show you who he is, he'll show you. And I said, he said, well, you know, I pray to God and this and that. I said, what you need to pray is that God will show you who he is. So you draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. And so I'm excited to see what all's going to happen even this week. And I know God's going to save that young man. Alrighty, Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1, says, then was Jesus led up to by the Spirit, unto the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, and if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you and praise you, dear God, for the reading of your Word tonight. Lord, we thank you for the treasures that we have within the Word. Lord, we thank you for the power that's in the Word. Lord, we thank you for the love that we see on every page of the Word of God. Lord, we thank you, dear God, you have given us this precious gift. And Lord, I pray tonight to just add the blessing to the reading of your Word. And God, I pray tonight that we will just value the Word of God more than we've ever valued it before. May it be so very precious to our hearts, precious, even, Lord, when it's up on our lips. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name, amen. Well, the last couple of weeks on Sunday morning, I've been preaching, and I've been preaching along the lines of that knowing that if we are going to live any time at all as a Christian, there's going to be times that we're in the wilderness, that Satan is going to come along and he's going to try to tempt us, that Satan does love us. I tried to establish the fact that Satan hates you. Hey, let me tell you again, Satan hates you. He hates your family. He hates anything you're doing for God. He hates anything that's good. Satan hates you. And when Satan comes along and tries to tempt us, to try to pull us from what God would have for us, tries to get us to quit, tries to get us to give in to things that we know that aren't pleasing to God, that God will not bless. He is wanting to destroy your influence. He doesn't want you to have any influence for the glory of God. He wants to pull you down and render you useless. He doesn't want to see you reaching other people. He doesn't want to see you winning souls to Christ. He doesn't want to see you have a believable testimony. He wants you to be pulled down and destroyed and not have an effect. We said that temptation is certain. Temptation will come the way. And by the way, it is not wrong to be tempted. It is not wrong. It's not a sin to be tempted. Every person is going to be tempted. I know myself, sometimes when the temptations come, I feel bad about the temptations. But you know what? We can rejoice if we'll depend upon God and we won't give in to the temptations. The temptations aren't wrong. When we yield to those temptations in our lives, that's when the sin abounds. But also, we talked about temptation is calculated. Satan knows what he's doing. He knows what he's tempting you with. He knows what your weakness is. Hey, he's a master at what he does, but let me remind you of this. He is not the smartest. God has more wisdom. God is bigger. He's limited in his strength and he's greater than you, but he's not greater than the God that is in you. And I wanted to tell you that we don't have to be victims. When I tell you that temptation is certain, when I tell you that it is calculated, I don't tell you that for you to give up and say, okay, I'm a victim here, but when I tell you that so you can know that we can be a victor. We can be a victor. You know, I'm really passionate about this passage of Scripture. It's just been on my heart. It's been working on me. And it's been just something I've been wanting to express and show some of the treasures that we see here. Because you know what? Satan does not like what is going on in this place. And time again, when the Spirit of God is moving in a place, Satan wants to attack. Well, you let a church go forward for Christ, and Satan, he wants to stir up his workers in the church. And by the way, Satan has some workers in the church. Let's just continue to step out on faith as a church. Let's continue to go forward for the glory of God. Let's not hinder the work around. Let's be on the right side and press forward. You know what? If you're hindering the work, if you're going against what God is doing, you're on the wrong side. We ought to be the kind of people that are encouraging and ready to jump in and jump on and just go forward as God would have us to go forward. And I preach this message with passion because it's of a warning, knowing what is coming, because temptation is certain and temptation is calculated. Also, this is a warning to any Christian that's going forward and trying to do something for God. As God burdens us in our hearts and He stirs us and He brings out some things in us that we know that this is what God would have us to do. And as we step forward following the Lord, Satan wants to step in and Satan wants to get you distracted. Satan wants to tempt you. You know what? Sometimes the very fact that you're being tempted of the devil is very proof that you're doing something for God. You know, Satan ain't going to bother you if you're not doing anything for God. You're not a threat to him, but you do something for the Lord, he's going to get in there and he's going to try to do what he can. I want to give us three principles this morning or tonight about the Word of God. And I want us to look at these things and we understand that Jesus Christ, in his humanity, in Matthew chapter 4, defeated the temptations of the devil, and he was tempted in every way as we are tempted. And he defeated the devil with what? What did he defeat the devil with, church? The Scripture. The Word of God. So I want us to look at some principles that we need to learn about the Bible. First of all, the sufficiency of the Scriptures. In other words, the quality of being adequate and being sufficient. The Scriptures are sufficient tonight. The reason that Jesus was led into the wilderness, one of the reasons by the Spirit, was that Jesus could walk in our shoes. We see here in the temptation, we see the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and we see the pride of life. Every one of them are evident here, and it's everything that we are tempted and sin today. Oh, they might not have had the internet and these other things back then, but it's the same root, the same sin that everyone is tempted with. The high priest in the Old Testament could sympathize with you, but he could not empathize with you. But Jesus is different. It says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15, it says, "We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." Now, I don't know about you, but that encourages me tonight to know that my high priest, to know that Jesus Christ knows what I'm feeling. He knows what I'm going through. He knows where I'm at. He knows when I have a loss of a loved one. He knows what it feels like. Hey, He knows what it means to be tempted in this world and tried. He knows these things. And I'm thankful that He knows where we're at and what we're going through. He can sympathize with us because in all ways He was tempted as we are tempted. You know what, I'm thankful that when I pray, my God knows what it's like to be here. I'm thankful for that. He's not some untouchable God that's sitting up somewhere, some high so high we can't have anything to do with us. But He came and He dwelt among us. You know, Jesus faced everything that we face. The Word of God is sufficient for our need. The Word of God is sufficient for our victory. Now, if we are going to walk in the victory, we will have to come to the place that we say the Bible is enough. We'll have to come to that place. Now, it says in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In John chapter 1 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." When I say that the Word of God is sufficient, it's just as if I'm saying Jesus Christ is all sufficient. And let me tell you, they both are. Hey, you can't separate one from the other. Hey, I'm thankful that the Word of God is sufficient, the sufficiency of Scriptures. Now, secondly, in these verses, what we see here, we don't only see the Word of God, we don't only see the sufficiency of the Word of God, but we see the saturation of Scripture. The saturation. Now, when we think of saturation, man, we think of something soaked, something dripping. We think of being totally taken over with Scripture. In our text, we see the words, "It is written." We see Him three different times as Jesus Christ is dealing with these temptations. It would be, in our language today, it would be like saying, "The Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says." There's another phrase that is repeated in this passage of Scripture. It is this, if you look in verse number 4, it says that He answered and said. You look in verse number 7, it says, "Jesus said unto Him." You look at verse number 10, it says, "Then saith Jesus." Jesus knew the Scriptures. And as I pointed out before, we do not see Jesus' divine side in the story here in Matthew chapter 4. And all the other occasions in the Word of God, as we see Him, as we see Lazarus being raised from the dead, we see that Jesus wept. We see His human side, but then we see His divine side as He says, "Lazarus, come forth," and He was raised from the dead. When the storm came in the ship, they found Jesus Christ because He was tired, because He was exhausted, in the bottom of the ship, sleeping. We hear that the disciples come and they say, "What are you doing here sleeping? We're going to die." We see Jesus Christ's human side. But then as Jesus Christ gets up and He goes up on top of the ship and He says, "Tell the winds and the waves to cease," we see His divine side. He said, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey?" We see His divine side. Time and time again, but right here we see Jesus. We see His man. We see Him at Jesus Christ as man, and He's being tempted. And He uses the same thing that every one of us have today in our hands. How many of you got the Word of God with you? Can you raise it up high? Hey, He has the same thing with Him that defeat the temptations of the devil. It is written. It is written. Jesus Christ knew the Scriptures. He had them hid in His heart. The Scriptures were said and not read. That's important. The Scriptures were said and not read. Jesus didn't have the Scriptures on Him. He had the Scriptures in Him. We got the Bible and it wasn't none of that. He had them hid in His heart. The Scriptures were in Him. And that's why we encourage us, everyone, adults along with children, to memorize the Word of God. It's important. It will change you. It will help you to fight the fight when you're in the fight with the devil. When he comes up and he tempts you, we need to have the Scriptures. If there is an area that we need to improve in, it is the area of Scripture memory. I know I do. Sometimes it's hard to memorize Scripture. I like to use the excuse that I'm just too busy. I'm always getting a sermon ready. I'm always getting a study ready. And where's the time to do and to memorize these Scriptures? But this is an area that I need to improve in. And if we would probably agree tonight, this is an area that we all can improve in, is the memorization of Scripture. So as the Bible says in Psalms 119:11, it says, "Thy word hath I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God." So if we're having a struggle tonight, if we're continually being overtaken, hey, the secret is to memorize the Word of God, to hide it away in your heart. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to show you something this morning, tonight, that might be a help to you. It was a help to me. I want us to look at a word here in Ephesians chapter 6. And if you look down at verse number 17. Now, we see all kinds of defensive things leading up to verse number 17 in the armor of God. The things that we ought to have in our life. And we are given the offensive here in verse 17. It says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now, the sword of the Spirit is not only it's not only a defense, but it is an offense. It is a tool that is used to fight and to be on the offensive. I like being on the offense. I like being able to fight back. I like being able to do that. And the Bible says that we are to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, there's two types of swords that are mentioned in the Word of God. One was a big sword that was wide, and it took two hands to swing this sword. This is not the sword that's being mentioned here in Ephesians chapter 6. There's another sword that the Roman soldiers would place upon their side, and it was an 18-inch sword. It wasn't as big as the other sword. It was a short sword. This sword was used for face-to-face, hand-to-hand combat. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, "The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now, most of the time when you read the words in the Bible, the Word of God comes from the Greek word logos. And when this Greek word logos, which it means the entire Bible. Now, when you get to the Scriptures here in Ephesians chapter 6, this word that is used for the Bible or the Word of God here is the word rhema. Rhema, it refers to parts of the Word of God. Logos refers to the whole of the Bible. Rhema refers to the parts or the verses of the Word of God. Now, in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus did not defeat the devil with logos. He defeated him with rhema. It was the certain verses. It was the specific verse to overcome each specific temptation. He didn't just draw out some random verse and quote that verse, but he used a specific verse to deal with a specific temptation. Now, that is what it means to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, if Jesus memorized the Word of God, why do you think we can excuse ourselves from memorizing the Word of God? If Jesus Christ memorized the Word of God, why do you think that we can excuse ourselves from memorizing the Word of God? Well, I'm too old. You can't teach a new old dog new tricks. That's a bull. I've taught old dogs new tricks. They can learn. Hey, you can learn. We ought to exercise our brain. We ought to exercise our memory. We ought to try to learn things, especially something as precious as the Word of God. Logos is the armory where the swords are kept. Rhema is the swords themselves. Now, I want to give you two tips on memorizing the Word of God. If you're going to effectively memorize the Word of God. Now, when we think of spiritual maturity, we think we're not talking about people who read the Word of God. We're not talking about people who even teach the Word of God. We're not talking about people that have the Word of God, but we're talking about people who use the Bible. Every Christian ought to want to be spiritually mature and use the Bible in their life. Now, if we're going to effectively memorize scriptures, there needs to be a planned time. There needs to be a planned time. I can put it this simple. You know what? If it don't get scheduled, it don't get done. Well, I'm just too busy. There's no way. You need to set aside some time. How many of you would agree with me tonight? It is important to memorize Scripture. Okay, if you would agree with me that it's important to memorize Scripture, then you would have to agree with me that it is important that we set aside a time, a certain time, to memorize Scripture. We need to memorize it every day, whether it's 5 minutes, whether it's 10 minutes, whether it's 15 minutes, to work on memorizing Scripture. Now, it's not a time problem why we don't memorize Scripture. It's a heart problem. That may sting. That may hurt. But it's the truth. It's not a time problem. It's a heart problem when we don't memorize Scripture. You know, secondly, if we're going to memorize Scripture, this is going to help you. This is what will really help you. It needs to be practical. It needs to be practical. Now, all Scripture memory is profitable, but all Scripture memory is not practical. You can't memorize Scripture and not help you, but it's important that it is practical. Now, what I'm trying to say here, we need to memorize Scripture topically. We need to memorize Scripture topically. Now, I can explain it to you one way. You know what? If you have an anger problem, and you lash out at your family, when you go home tonight, what you need to do is find 5 verses that deal with anger and put them to memory. Make them your victory verses so you can overcome the sin that's in your life. So, if you have a problem with anger, get those verses. Right, know what they are. Memorize them, and then when you're tempted to be angry, when you're tempted to lash out at your family, when you're tempted to treat your spouse like a dog, when you're tempted to talk down to your children, and those verses will pop up, and you'll say, you know what? I'm going to obey the Word of God, and I'm not going to give in to anger. A person, the Bible says, a person who is soon angry dealeth foolishly. You know what? Maybe you're a man in here tonight and you have a struggle with your thought life and you need to go home and find 5 verses that will give you the victory and clean out your mind. Memorize Scripture. David said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Jesus said, whosoever looketh upon a woman has committed adultery with her already in his heart. We need to memorize the Scripture practically. No, when you don't have a sword to grab, the devil will mop the floor with you. See, that's why we fail, and that's why we give in to temptation, because we have no swords in our arsenal. We have not memorized, we have not prepared. You know, it's getting ready to be deer season. You know what? What I have in my gun safe, I have me a deer rifle that I can go to, and I can go deer hunting. I've prepared for that. I saved up money for that. And man, how much more when we go to battle with Satan, and it's war, folks, we need to have the swords in our arsenal that we can grab a hold of, we can get a hold of at any time. And we're not going to have the Bible on us at every turn we go. We ought to memorize and have the Word of God not on us, but in us. Nobody is too busy to at least learn 1 verse a week. Think about that. 1 verse a week. 1 verse a week, 52 verses a year. Do you think 52 verses a year would change your life? Yes, it would. Hey, we need to memorize the Word of God. I'm thankful for you folks that come up here tonight. I hope we have twice as many people coming up here and quoting Scripture next week and hiding it in their heart. Memorize at least, I think anybody can memorize one verse a week. Matthew, how old are you, Matthew? 5. I bet you probably do memorize one verse a week. And even at 5 years old, he can memorize a verse a week. I tell you what, as soon as Bracey gets talking, she might only be a year and a half. She can learn some verses. That girl's smart. But we can need to learn verses. You know what? Here, I'm going to give you a practical thing to do. I'd encourage you tonight when you leave this place. Well, we're in Newcastle. Nothing will be open. But maybe tomorrow, okay? Go get you a pack of 3x5 cards. And on those 3x5, on the back side of that 3x5 card, write down what you're struggling with. And then on the other side of that 3x5 card, write down 5 verses dealing with what you're struggling with. And then start to put that to memory. As you have that to memory and you have the victory, hey, put down another thing that you have to struggle with 5 verses, and put it on that 3x5 card. Put that 3x5 card somewhere where you'll see it. Aaron, it might be up on the dash of your truck or your visor. It may be for you ladies. It may be on your makeup mirror in the morning so you can read over those verses. Or it may be on the refrigerator for our children where they get in there to get their breakfast in the morning. They can look over those verses. But put it somewhere. Hey, carry it along in your wallet if you have to, or your purse, your pocketbook. When you pull out your checkbook, when you ladies go shopping, you can look over them again while you're waiting in line to pay for all those stuff you just shopped and you bought while you was at the store. But take that 3x5 card, put it what you're struggling with, and then look at those verses and see. I just dare you, okay? Can I just encourage you to do so? Can you just listen to your pastor a little bit tonight and take the advice of the man that God has put in front of you to help you to grow in the grace of God? Hey, this will change your life. And see if God doesn't give you the victory. I am sick and tired of seeing people defeated and playing the victim when they have the victory. And Jesus Christ came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. We don't have to give in to this pull and this junk and pulling us apart and tearing us down. Hey, let's just do what God would want us to do. Let's put His Word up in our heart and allow it to work in us. I'm thankful to have the Word of God in us. And then lastly, we don't only see the sufficiency of Scriptures. We don't only see the saturation of Scriptures. But thirdly, we see the success of Scriptures. The success of Scriptures. How many of you, anybody out here likes success? I don't think anybody doesn't want to succeed. But we get right here, it is here, it shows us, this is how you overcome. Here's the success. But you will have to do this. You'll have to understand, hey, it is sufficient. You'll have to understand we need to be saturated with the Word of God. And we know that there is success with Scripture. It says, then the devil leaveth him in verse number 11 of chapter 4. It didn't say the devil hung around. It didn't say he just was quiet. But it said he left. He left on out because he couldn't deal with the truth. He couldn't overcome the truth. Here is the interpretation for verse number 11. It says, then the devil left him. This is the interpretation. This is deep. This is deep. The Bible works. The Bible works. Hey, it worked for Jesus. It will work for you. I'm going to tell you what. I'm excited to have the Scriptures. Do you understand what it took for us to even have the Scriptures in our hands tonight? You want to know why Satan didn't want it to come to us, folks? He didn't want the English-speaking people even to have the Word of God. Hey, people died. They were burnt at the stake only because they wanted people to be able to read the Word of God. I believe it was William Tyndale that he told him as he was going to be burnt to death. He said, before he was burnt to death, he said this, I will cause the plowboy to know more of the Word of God than the Pope himself. And we see today that, you know what, even if you're just a plowboy,
you can know the Word of God. What a precious gift that we have. Man, it's going to change our life. And there's nobody that's incapable of memorizing and learning the Scriptures. And we have everything that we need to defeat the temptation of the devil. Hey, you know what? If you're trying to do it on your own, you will not win. You will not win. You might think you can bully around and tell the devil what you want to tell him and do. I tell you what, you better get the Word of God and say, thus it is written. Thus it says, and be able to fight him with the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. The most valuable gift we have. And so neglected. And so neglected. God help us just to fall in love with the Word. I don't know about you, but this has helped me tonight. It's helped me tonight. This wasn't some real flashy sermon or whatever, but it's pretty practical. And I pray that the Holy Spirit worked in your heart as He has worked in my heart in these last few days, and that we can just continue to go forward. You know what? I don't want to see any of you fall. I don't want to see you fail. I don't want to see you get pulled in all kinds of directions. I want to tell you, you know what? Satan comes very subtly. Oh, he'll make something look like it's good. He'll make something look like it's the best. But you know what? It's not right. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. And so if we know the Word of God, when those temptations come and Satan tries to pull us away and cause us to do it, we do not have to get in, and we can continue to go forward for the glory of God. Let's continue to grow in His love. Let's continue to grow in His grace and praise Him for all that He's doing.